Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand up one more time. We're going to go do some exercises today. And I want to make this faith confession together. Everybody follow after me. Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy,
and His mercy
endures forever. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. That means God's good and His mercy endures forever, if you didn't know the translation. Okay, sit down. Praise God. We're going to do some exercises this morning. How many of you like charismatics? Calisthenics and push-ups and all that stuff. How many of you actually have an exercise program or you exercise regularly? Come on, let's see your hand. Praise God. Emma, if you walk or you do something, take the dog out, well, that's exercising. If you go to the kitchen and grab sandwiches, that's exercising too. There's all kinds of ways you can exercise, amen? You can exercise while eating. And so I enjoy exercise, and of course I don't have a job, a labor's job. I can go to the gym, and sometimes I take the dogs out for a couple hours, maybe go for a 45-minute walk and get some fresh air. We need fresh air. But it's getting too cold. I'm going to cancel all that and sell off my dogs. Anybody want to buy a couple of bulldogs? No one? Well, this morning, we've talked about prayer for a long time. We talked about 7 steps to answer prayer on Wednesday nights. And if you missed that, get the copies of it or go online. And you can hear the audio or you can watch the video on our website, or you could go to YouTube, Faith City Church Thunder Bay, and you'll see us. And also subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe to Faith City Church Thunder Bay. And whenever we're on, our program's on, it'll come up on your feed so that you could either reject it or accept it. At least you have a choice. And I do that with some of my favorite things that I, watch. So every Wednesday, as usual, I watch Pastor Hagin. And when he's teaching on Wednesday night, I just go home and have my sandwich or something, and I watch the program. Or I watch it later at night, maybe 11 o'clock before I go to sleep. I'll watch the program and listen to what he has to say, because I have to feed myself. He's my mentor. He's my pastor. So I listen to him regularly. If he's not on television, I find something and I listen to him. So I mentor myself. I put myself under his mentorship. You don't have to wait and ask somebody to mentor you. You just go ahead and get the book, get the tape, get the video, and listen. And I've done that for years. And so that's a good thing to do, and be under mentorship. I've done that a lot of times for different ministries, people that I admire, that have been successful in life, in ministry, and I follow what they have to say. And so we need somebody to pour oil on us. Amen? The Bible says, you sit under somebody, whatever's under that ministry comes on you. And whoever you're connected to, you become like who you're connected with. And so I believe we've got good company here. Amen? So we want to learn how to pray this morning. How many of you want to learn how to pray? So we can have a spiritual exercise. We're going to do some praising, some faith declarations. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray in our language, our normal everyday language to God. And we're going to pray in the Spirit, the language that God has given you. And we're going to learn how to praise. Praise the Lord. Amen? So I want to, go to some scriptures that will help us this morning. Let us, if you have your Bibles with you, I want us to go to, first, let's just remind you, we've used Ephesians 6:18. The Bible says there in Ephesians 6:18, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all supplication. And so in the Spirit, praying for all saints. And so the Bible tells us In Ephesians 6:18, that there's all kinds of prayers. Different kinds of ways to pray, or different methods, or different kinds of prayer. If there's just different kinds of prayer, we ought to know what kind there is. What kind are you praying this morning? And so we need to learn the different prayers, what they mean to us, what they will do, how they operate, and what can we expect from those prayers. And so we've learned, you know, the prayer of faith. Of course, the prayer of faith is something that we need to understand, because the prayer of faith touches every aspect of prayer. Without faith, it's impossible. Faith makes everything work. That's how you got saved. Faith is the way you get saved. Faith is the way your prayers are answered. You got faith to get healed. You get faith to believe for your families. Faith for your finances. Faith to pray for protection. So faith applies in every area, and so there are different kinds of prayers, and one kind of prayer is the prayer of faith. And so there's laws that govern, that make it work. So if you don't understand the prayer of faith, usually it's something that you pray. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask, whatever you believe. And Mark 11, 23-24 talks about you praying. But also, this prayer of faith can apply to someone else that you're praying for. Particularly, people that are not educated, that never had the chance to learn how to pray, maybe Christians perhaps. And then, on occasion, everybody say on occasion. You can pray for someone who is very, very sick and they can't pray for themselves. How many people, you've been so sick, you can't even utter a prayer? You just don't have the capacity, you don't have the energy to pray. Anybody like that? I've been that way. I just don't want to pray. I can't pray. And so we need other people to pray for us. So that's when we need someone to pray for us. The Bible says, is any sick among you? That's found in James chapter 5. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The word save is the word sozo, which means heal the sick. And I heard a preaching on it. Actually, Brother Hagin talked on it, and I forget the doctor. He was a well-known theologian. And he said the scripture there in James chapter 5 says, is anyone sick among you? The Greek says, if anyone too sick that they're incapable of praying for themselves. This is not asking someone to pray for your needs regularly, for your family needs. This is not about asking somebody to pray that God will meet your needs. I want to tell you something. There are some things you never have to pray for. You don't have to pray for certain things. If the Bible declares it's yours, you don't have to pray for it. You just say, that belongs to me. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. I receive it in the name of Jesus. There's some things you don't have to pray about. Like, for instance, you don't have to pray to obey God. You say, Lord, please let me obey. No, you obey. You obey. If God says don't steal, you say, Lord, help me not to steal. No, just don't steal. And there's other things that you could help yourself. Maybe you have demonic influences that help, and there's another way to pray about that. There's another prayer that's called the prayer of binding and loosing, and that's when everybody has this. Sometimes you have demonic attacks on your life. And you have no way of ending that unless, you know, demonic attacks can come through people. Demons can be used, work through people to attack you. Different things can block in your way and you can't get things done. So you have to learn how to bind the devil. Say money's not coming to you, or even if you have money, the money goes out the door and you don't have enough. You could have three jobs and still not have enough money. And so you have to obey God, of course, in different areas if God tells you to do something, but also if there are demonic attacks on your life. I mean, you just bought 4 tires and all of a sudden the furnace went. And we need to learn how to pray against the enemy and bind the enemy and cause him to be ineffective, useless, and harmless against you. You render him ineffective. You bind him. You take that. And if he's attacking you through people, you don't argue with the people. You go against the spirit that's causing them. And that's the spirit of binding, the prayer of binding and loosing. So we need to learn how to do that and ask God. And so if you're stressed out, if you're worried, there's a prayer called casting your cares upon God. And you take your cares and you worry and you throw it on the Lord. And you say, Lord, you take it. And you leave it there. Don't take it back. And if the devil brings it back to you, you just go right into, you go into a prayer called the praise and worship. There's a prayer called praise and worship. There's ways to do that. And you praise God and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You took that from me. And devil, I speak to you right now. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I continue to thank God. You don't go back into praying about that again and asking God the same thing you asked him before. Because if you ask him, you should believe that he took it. Amen. And don't go back to it and ask God the same thing you did 25 times before. That wouldn't be faith. And if you're doing that, you're doing something wrong and hurting yourself spiritually. We need to learn how to do this. And that doesn't mean you'll never have problems emotionally. And that doesn't mean you're not going to ever have problems. No, the devil is going to be here. He is allowed. How many people know that the devil is allowed to be on earth? In fact, he's allowed to attack you if you go into his territory. But he can't attack you if you stay in the presence of the Most High God. Psalm 91 says, you know, I saw somebody's Facebook today, yesterday, and said, you know, Psalm 91 there. He says, I think I'm going to go back. I'm going to start, it's time for me to go back into the secret place. I said, no, no, no. You go there and you stay there. Don't come out. You keep your armor on. Keep your faith up. Don't come in and out of there. You stay in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. And, you know, he is Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. So you stay there. And so that's what you do. And then also when you go to prayer, there's something that happens to people when you go to prayer. God begins to tap you on the shoulder and says, listen, you have some resentment you need to deal with. You have some anger. You stole something. You said something bad about someone and you made some bad confessions. You talked about someone in front of other people and you hurt their character. You need to forgive. You need to ask for forgiveness. And you need to pray for that person you harmed by saying something bad about them. You assassinate their character. And so God deals with you. How many people know if you have a healthy prayer life, you'll have great spirituality? Amen. You need to be able to connect with God regularly. They say, you know, somebody said, prayer is like breathing. It's necessary. And so we need to breathe, you know. So these things are important and learn to take care of ourselves. And when you walk with God, and you walk in forgiveness and walk in fellowship with God. You know, when you're fellowshipping with God, it's hard to be negative. It's hard to be disappointed. It's hard you don't stay disappointed long. You don't stay depressed. If you're walking with God, those days can be few in number, time in number. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen? Say, I love you.
I love you.
I want to teach you something this morning. No, I'm not professional at this. I'm not the expert, but I know some things. I've learned some things. And the Lord told me, 1990, the Lord said to me, start doing seminars. I've never done a seminar before, but God says, do seminars. Teach people how to pray. I said, I don't know how to pray myself. And so I had to learn how to pray. And so every one of us need to learn how to pray. And so we need to learn how to pray for ourselves, right? We need to learn how to pray for other people when it's appropriate. I'm learning something. I've joined a group. I learned something about, what does that mean when you're over-helping somebody? What's that word? Enabling. Okay, so don't be a spiritual enabler and pray for everybody's everybody's stuff and take all their family problems to God. No, you're unable. You go ahead and pray for, tell them to pray for themselves. That's what God tells us. He says, when you go to your prayer closet, he says, go to your father and ask him. And when Philippians says, take your prayer request to the Lord. He doesn't say, take your neighbor's prayer request to the Lord or your wife's prayer request. No, you take your prayer request to God. Each of us are responsible for our own spirituality. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. Are you still, are you gone home? No, you're not gone home. So anyway, so we pray. There's a prayer that you pray when someone is not born again and they need to hear from God. They need to come back to God. There are Christians, there's people that are not saved. They don't know God. If you don't pray for them, if nobody prays for them, the Bible says they're going to be lost for eternity. I don't want to say they're going to hell. I just said they'll be lost for eternity. I used a term, different term. Because people get shut off. You start talking like this. You have to learn how to talk to people so they listen to you. You don't go up to say to someone says, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. You know, they're probably living in hell here on earth already. So the Bible doesn't tell us to ever tell people that. What the Bible tells us is that to go and tell the sinner that God loves them and that all their sins are forgiven if you just come to Jesus. It's a better way. It's a more positive way to invite them in. Okay, guys, forget about I said that, okay? Let's go talk about something else. So there's a way to pray for other people. It's called the prayer of intercession. Amen. So you pray this way for people who don't know Jesus. You pray this way for people that are born again, that have gotten so far away from God, they don't know how to come back. And they don't know how to, they're not calling for God anymore. They're so deep into their sin, they don't know how to come back to God. They don't know how to love God. They don't know how to, they forget it. You know how many people know that you can forget your spiritual blessings and how it was to serve God, and sometimes a faint idea would come about serving God. If you, anybody here, if you go deliberately and go away from God, I'll guarantee you it's going to be hard to come back. You'll try. I'll ask anybody. I've seen people in this room and in other rooms that have been away from God, and they try to come back to God, and they thought they could just get in just like that. Sometimes that might happen. But it takes time to get the taste of God again. It takes time to come and worship. It takes time to praise God. It takes time to fellowship with people. And because the world is calling you all the time with their bright lights and excitement, come on in, come on in. We're going to have a drink. Let's have a party. Forget about those boring Christians. And so you pray intercession. And also supplicate for those people that have been out there. You pray for them. And bring them back in. And then sometimes if you don't know how to pray for certain things, you don't know, you've used enough English language that you run out of words. And you get to a place where you don't know how to pray for someone. You've been praying for them for a long time. But you don't know how to pray for them. The Bible says the Spirit of God knows how to pray for those people. In a spiritual language that God, the Father, understands. So you yield your spirit to the Holy Spirit. Romans, 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, I yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit, and he prays through me, through my spirit. Amen. The perfect will of God for that situation. And one of the most unselfish things you could do for anyone is to pray for them. You know, to lay down your life for a friend. To lay down your time, give your time and your energy to someone you love, to people, is called a prayer of intercession. You sacrifice your time and you pray, you go to your prayer time and you pray for someone and reach out to heaven and reach out to where they are by the Spirit of God and bring them back in. We pray for them because Satan comes along and blinds the Christian's eyes sometimes so that they can't see. Open my eyes, the Bible says, so that I can see. And then sometimes people get blinded spiritually through other things, spiritual things. So we pray the prayer of intercession. And so we pray the prayer of tongues, praying in tongues. The Bible says when you pray in tongues in another language, God takes your spirit. And through your tongues, he'll pray through that person, the perfect will of God, because you don't know. Because Ephesians 16 says that we supplicate in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, that God prays the perfect mysteries, the hidden truth for that person's life. Amen. Romans 8:26-27 says, we pray the perfect will of God as we pray in tongues for that person. You might not know how to pray for that person. You say, Lord, bless him, help him. So many times, and you don't know what to say anymore. You don't know what to do, so you kick into this new, fresh language, and you pray the will of God for that situation. Keep praying in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And then there's times in your life, you come to a place in your life where you know what God wants you to do. God tells you what to do, but you don't want to do it. How many people have done that? Huh? You get to a place, there's about seven of you. You get to a place where God says, I want you to do this for me. I'll give you an example. I want you to go to Faith City Church. I want you to go help Pastor Roma. And anything he wants, anything he needs, you go and help him. You know, what if he tells me something ridiculous? No, not if he's a Christian. He's not going to tell you that. And God says, I know Roma Fisher. He's my friend. And he's not going to tell you to do something that is not in the Bible. What if he tells me to pray? Then pray. So we pray the prayer of consecration, dedication, submission to God. Jesus prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And every once in a while, when we don't know what to do, we go to this prayer. So, Lord, I don't know what to do, but may your will be done here. Amen? So sometimes we don't know what to pray about. But the Holy Ghost knows. So we spend some time in those times. And then there's sometimes you have to pray. You need prayer. You need a little extra help. There's a prayer called the prayer of agreement, where you find somebody to agree with you. Jesus says, as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven, Jesus said. If two shall agree on earth, as touching anything, it will be done. If you agree. So you find somebody, a prayer partner, somebody you can hook up with and say, can you agree with me in prayer? Let's pray together. I want you to agree with me. And here's the scripture I have that I'm praying about. You should have at least two or three scriptures to stand on when you're praying about that, so that person there also can have faith to stand with you. Amen? Amen. And then there's another one that you pray with people is called the prayer, corporate prayer or group prayer. And you pray with a bunch of people together, a corporate prayer, corporate gathering, and you pray prayers together. The Bible says one could put 1,000 and two could put 10,000, and you multiply that. And how much power there can be released on a certain situation, get it done quickly. So sometimes we need people. There are times we need other people to pray with us, but not every day. Not every time, Lord, I want all the church to pray for me so that I find a job. No, you don't need that. Go to the one ads. No, nobody goes to the one ads anymore. How many go to the one ads? You know, by the time you get there anyway, about 10,000 people have gone there. Unless God holds it for you. Right? So you pray with the corporate prayer, and there are certain rules for corporate praying. When you go to corporate prayer, you don't go there to pray what you want to pray about. You don't go to corporate prayer to ask them to pray for all your family stuff. You go to corporate prayer to pray for whoever is assigned to lead that prayer and to take the needs before God for the church, and you pray that prayer and pray those things in whatever fashion. How fast and how long and whatever wide you want to pray, you pray whatever they pray. Pray with the same vision, same voice, same thing, and you move together and pray together. It's like an orchestra. That's all it is. Like when you go to play in the orchestra, you don't just play your own tune. You play whatever everybody else is playing, right?
Amen.
And then you have a what do you call like a conductor? He's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I never watch him anyway, do you? Just watch. But anyway, you don't go to an orchestra and play your own thing. You play whatever everybody's playing. So you play in harmony, in unison. And so that's the way you pray when you pray in group prayer. You listen to the leader and you pray what they pray. You amen them and you pray in English with them and you pray in tongues with them. Whenever they stop and go, you stop and go. You're moving in the same direction. Not crosswords, not behind. You don't stay behind. You don't go out for coffee and come back in. No, you pray with them. You don't come there to talk about your stuff. You come there to do your work.
Amen.
Okay. So, are we getting somewhere? So we need to learn the different ways to pray. So that we can get the job done. And so this morning, I want to spend some time on you getting a prayer life. Ever anybody ever tell you that? Get a life. I mean, we've had that. So we want to talk about getting a prayer life. And so I'm going to skip over some things, but I'm going to talk about this for a while. So I'm going to mention some things. We'll come back to it again. And so what I found in the summertime where we were praying with my staff, and I should be praying more with my staff, the Lord began to tell me, these guys need to pray. My staff needs to pray. My staff needs to pray in the Holy Ghost. They need to pray in tongues regularly in our gatherings. People, staff, are you there? And we need to pray in tongues and in the Spirit and loud and hard. And exuberantly. And not shy. And pray in the Spirit. In front of each other. And cry. And wail. If we have to. I see so many fixies. This year, it's from my right foot and left foot. And when I step on these, when it works properly, the people in here will get all shaky. And then this sense the Lord is moving. But there's electrical cord underneath each one. If you look closely, you'll see it. Pastor Greg came by. He connects everything together. Where were we? Well, get a prayer life, but I was talking to my staff, trying to tell them indirectly. Because I want to be passive aggressive about these things. No. But you know what? Here's what the Lord says to me. I was in my prayer time yesterday or the day before. He said, you know, your job is to pray for the people. And the Lord, you know, he'll talk to you really strong. The Lord said, your job, you're paid to, you know, Pastor Ken, you're paid to pray for the people. He's getting started. You know, Kendra, you're paid to pray for the people. God pays you to pray. He showed me scripture. He said, you know what? The apostles and those who work full time in the church says that God said to them, He tells the ministry helps, you go ahead and do the business part, and we'll spend time in the ministry of the word and we'll pray. It's our job to pray for the church. For the people, for new believers, and for old believers. But you know what? When you go to your prayer time, the Lord will straighten you out. He'll tell you things that don't worry about things. What's wrong with you? That's how the Lord talks to me. He talks to me in my old res voice. You know, that's how I listen to God. My dad or my Lord doesn't talk like, you know, a business leader. I don't understand business business leaders. I understand when my dad talks to me. So we're going to talk about praying, having a personal prayer life. Is that okay? And so let's talk about something. I'm going to teach you something about having a prayer structure. I'm going to show you how to have a prayer structure, a prayer model, so that you can follow this model any way you want to, in any fashion that you can. But it's a model that you can use to go into your prayer time so that you can find this and you can stay with it. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, show us how to pray. And he talked to them about that, and he talked to them, and he showed them different things. And so I want to show you. And the Lord's Prayer is not something that you recite over and over and over again. It's something, you know, Jesus finished telling them, don't say things over and over and over again. Then he tells them to say this prayer. No. If you read the Matthew, you'll see that in Matthew chapter 6. So he gives them principles. Everybody say principles. So God will give you principles on what to have in your prayer closet. He'll give you a structure of what you should follow and the things that you need to do in your personal prayer time. You need to have an agenda. You need to have a plan when you go before God. And it's important that everybody have a prayer life. And so we're going to show you some things here. Whenever we get started here. So the purpose of what I'm trying to do is to give you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to inspire you to pray, and to give you a structure for your individual or personal prayer time, and to learn how to pray with someone or other people. And the Bible says the prayer life of a person, of people, God says, I delight in hearing my people pray. God wants you to pray. God loves you to pray. And so why is prayer important? Prayer is something that's not seasonal, but prayer is something that should be done every day. God will emphasize certain things about prayer. But prayer is primarily to talk to God, to find His purpose, to do His will. Prayer is to hear God, to receive direction. Prayer is to know God's will, to hear God's plan, to do God's purpose. To have God participate in your life and you to participate in His life. That's what prayer is. There's two purposes for prayer. Number one, in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that Paul encountered God, and God appeared to Paul as he was going out to do the will of the Sanhedrin and to destroy the believers, and Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus, he fell off his animal, whatever he had there. I don't know if he had a horse or something. He fell off his, and he became blind. And he heard a voice said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul was persecuting the church. And Jesus identified himself with the church. He said, why are you persecuting me? How many people know when you come against your Christian brother, you're coming against God? It's the body of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 21, 20, it says the Bible, the church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head. So what? There's a question that came on to Paul. It says, God, who are you? Who are you? And what would you have me to do? And so the purpose of prayer is to know God, and to find out what to do. To know God. If you want to know God, you got to spend more time with God. You got to study His Word and find out what He says. Who is God? Who is God to you? People say, well, He is Creator. He's more than Creator. That's only one aspect of God, who He is. The Bible said God is your Father, your very own Daddy. Hebrews 12 says that He's the Father of all spirits. And when you die, your spirit goes back to Him. And our bodies go back to the ground where it was created. And then if you die, if you blow up into nothing, in tiny molecules, and your ashes are spread everywhere, when Jesus appears, your body will come back to your life again. And God will give you a brand new body. And He says, "Whew, I'm glad we're back together." Your body says. That's what happens. This is going to happen. When a trump of God shows up, if you died, you're in heaven, but your body's all over, spread all over, maybe they spread your ashes and the sea, it'll come out of the sea and come back together. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that incredible? I find you incredible. We're incredible people. Amen? So, first of all, Mark chapter 1:35. Let's go to Mark 1:35. My precious person at the back, Mark 1:35, and I gave you a structure, but I might not go there until next week. Everybody say, in the morning.
Morning.
Notice this, and in the morning, rising up a great way before day. That's easy to do these days because it's darker. So he said, well, I got up so early this morning. It's only 8:30. Before the day. Everybody say, before the day. He went out and he parted to a solitary place to pray. Everybody say, solitary place. Say, and pray. So I want you to know something about Jesus. And if you want to learn about prayer, let's follow what Jesus did. In the Old Testament, let me remind you, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God told Moses that the children of Israel should gather manna in the morning. And if it failed to do that, they would just, do it out. You only get manna for that day. How many people know that you live one day at a time?
Amen.
Did you find that out yet? Okay. and he's trying to live way 2 weeks ahead, way four weeks ahead. And he's worried about that. It's not even there yet. And he's worried about all those days that have gone behind him. All the past, you only live one day at a time. And God told the Israelites, I'm going to give you manna only for that day. And God wants to give you manna only for this day. Not tomorrow, He might show you some things and prepare you, but only for this day are you to pray for this day. He says, tomorrow will take care of itself, but today you get up early in the morning like Jesus did, get up before sunrise, before all the emails come in, before all the, shut off your phone because it's coming in constantly, and you have to go and seize the morning. Seize your day. Take care of your day. And you go to your prayer time. It's like Jesus. He rose up in the morning and He went to pray. What's he doing? He's hearing from God. He's getting the plan. He's preparing his heart. And anything that comes up during that day, he already knows. He's got it all handled in his prayer time. Nothing comes up. Anything that arises, any emergency that arises, he knew that he took care of it already. Nothing surprises. He's not afraid of bad news. But he knows he's going to be okay. Because he's already taken care of it. He's already prayed about it. He's already met the king. Somebody said, why should I be afraid of the queen when I've just talked to the king? Somebody said that. I thought it was, I might add it right there because it's good. You're going to miss the best part. Okay. While in the morning, rising up a great while before day. There's something we need to do before we start our day, and that is give God the first part of our day. Pray that you're not going to be afraid of any letter that comes in that says you owe 15 grand. Because you already took care of it in the prayer time. Give us this day our daily bread. You prayed for all the needs. You're not afraid of bad news because, you know, somebody is dying. Somebody say, oh, I've already prayed for that. You already know. How many people know that God prepares you? He prepares you. And we need to open our eyes and open ourselves up and understand what God wants to do in our lives through a prayer. That's why God emphasized for us, and God says to me, and I talked to the staff, and they got the amen too. We need to start off this fiscal prayer time of open season again and begin to pray. We're not going to be afraid. Hallelujah. He went out and he parted to a solitary place. Now, you have to find a place. You have to go and find a place where you're going to pray. Yeah. In your house. I look everywhere in my house to find out where to pray. I found a prayer time. I went to my office and they took care of the dogs are in there. Everybody's stuff is in my office. I mean, everybody's traffic going on. What do you call that place? Grand Central Station. I'm going there. What's going on there? This is my office. So I've been kicked out of my office for a long time. I don't know. Anybody ever, you get kicked out of your office too sometime? No? So anyway. So I had to go find somewhere to pray. And sometimes you see me perched on my place, right? You drive by my home and you see me sitting there. You can see my silhouette. You drive by at night. Oh, that's Pastor. He's still praying. No, I pray day and night. You got to get along with God. Everybody say, get along with God. Say, I got to get along with God. Come on, touch yourself. Say, I got to get along with God. People say, well, I pray all the time. Well, yeah, you should pray all the time, all day long. Say communication with God. Pray whenever you need to pray. You know, you're in Walmart. And the Lord says, pray. And all of a sudden, you're praying. What's he doing? So, we get alone with God and you pray. So the scripture says, we need to get that time. Find a certain place. Everybody say, certain place. Certain place. Say, certain time. Certain time. Say, develop a habit. Say, get a rhythm and a flow. That's what you need to do in there. You find the place. You find the time. You got it all. You know where to go. You know how much time you're going to spend. You know when you're going to get up in the morning. You know when you're going to stop. Sometimes if the Lord leads you, whatever. And you're gonna find a rhythm and a flow with God. And you're going to go in there and it's going to be wonderful. You're going to flow. Once you do this, you can't wait to get back in. You'll be excited. You'll just be so excited. You can't wait to go back in there. Because yes, you're praying during the daytime, but when you get to a place where you go, I can't wait for the morning to meet with God again. I've got that to that place. I've got to that place where I just can't wait. I tell my wife, I can't wait tomorrow morning. I want to pray. Come on, let's go. And she looks at me. I thought you were watching hockey. So let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is extremely important, and then you learn the principles of prayer. You need to learn the principles, but there's something else that happens in prayer. You get a spirit of prayer on you. You get an anointing of prayer on you, and the only way to get it is to pray with people who have it. You know, find somebody who loves to pray. You hang with them, and all of a sudden, you're going to get the same hunger. You're going to get the same thirst. If you notice this, you become like who you hang around with. You get the same attitude. You get the same desire. You get the same enthusiasm about who you're with. It's fine to learn principles, but there's something else about catching the prayer, the spirit of prayer, off of someone. It's important. Somebody said prayer, the prayer is caught, the anointing is caught from someone. You'll need to be with people who pray, who know how to pray. They see you, and that's why Brother Hagin, Jesus told him in one of his visions, Jesus said to him, I want you to teach my people how to pray. I want you to teach them the principles, and I want you to pray in front of them. Model prayer. And so when we went to seminars all the time with Brother Hagin, he would teach us on prayer, and then he'd kneel down with us, and we would watch them. We would see. You got to see somebody pray. You got to watch what they do. You got to see what they do, why they do certain things. You got to pray with people. You learn by observation. Not just hearing a story about prayer, and Jesus prayed. Oh, yeah, he did. He took his disciples with him, and he showed them how to pray. And it's called precept and example. Give them the precept, give them the example. And he prayed. And then sometimes we would watch Brother Hagin, and he'd laugh. Oh, what a wonderful joy. And then he began to pray, and he'd talk about different things. And then he would say, no. Come again, said, no. He'd kick into the intercession, and he'd pray, and he'd bind the things, and he'd pray. Then he'd laugh again, then he'd laugh and say, oh, I see that. They'll be so excited when they see that, Lord. Oh, yeah. And we see that, and then we begin to catch that. Then he begins to prophesy over people, prophesy over different things, prophesy over the nation and all that. And I begin to do that. And I begin to declare different things that just astound me, blew my mind. And why am I saying all this stuff? This is I can't believe it almost. My mind can't believe it, but my spirit does. Because you are spirit and soul. Your soul doesn't always understand what your spirit is doing. Your spirit knows God, but your mind doesn't always know God. And you'll be excited, and you'll say things in your prayer closet that you will not, your mind has never gotten yet, but your spirit will say things. And you'll get revelation, you'll get leading. And when I was praying in the morning, the Lord said to me, and I was having some difficulty with situations, and I didn't know if I was doing the right thing, and I was praying, I didn't have chapter and verse for that specific area. And I'm praying in the Spirit and asking the Lord. The Lord said to me, what does this scripture say? Psalm 37, 23, 24. Let's get it up there. Let's go in the Amplified Classical Edition for the people of here. Hallelujah. We're going to learn how to pray. Say, I'm going to learn how to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody here is going to learn how to pray. Everybody. And not only that, but you're going to catch the spirit of prayer. You're going to pray all the time. Shakamaha. Can we get that? You're coming. You know, last time we're looking at her, and everything froze back there, and she's going. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Let's go to Amplified Classical Edition. Let's see what it says here. Are you doing okay, my friend?
Yeah.
Bless you. And you doing okay, too?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here again. Are you like it here? You're family now. I'm going to adopt you. Get the papers out, guys. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so the steps of a good man, or the Bible says a righteous man. How many good people we got here? That's the Anishinaabe people. The good people. Okay, the steps of Anishinaabe, a good man, are ordered of the Lord, are directed by the Lord, and established by the Lord. In other words, God has established a certain thing, and when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will grasp his hand and support him and uphold him. Listen, people, the Lord said to me, Don't you ever be afraid of making a mistake when I'm with you, when you're walking with me. You might make a mistake because righteous people do make mistakes. They do take a wrong turn, but God always turns them back again. Come on, let's hear you scream out to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to show you something. I want to show you something because don't ever be afraid of making a wrong move. I remember, you know, when I was young, I was just in my early 20s, and I didn't have very much money. I'm in university. And the man of God says, I want 10 people to give $1,000. My hand went up. I'll give $1,000. That's all I had. I'm far away from home. I'm 500 miles away from home. Away from home, away from home. Lord, I'm 500 miles away from home. 6 days on the road, I'm going to get home tonight. Amen. We're going to make it home, guys. Okay, I took a wrong turn, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Amen? Hey, you know, I could do a good Merle Haggard. You want to hear it? Okay. So even if you fall, and some version says if you make a mistake, if you make a wrong turn, God will always bring you back. If you walk with God, He'll protect you. Amen. And the Lord says, don't you ever forget, I'm going to get back to you. And since that time, $1,000, I had people give me money. $5,000 every time. And somebody might give me $5,000 soon again. If somebody could give me $5,000, they could give me $10,000. And $20,000, and $100,000, and $250,000. I'm saying it. I'm declaring it. Because you have to declare it. It's your mouth that determines your future. Whatever you say will come to pass. What your lips mention, life or death, is coming your way. So choose to say something ridiculous that's right out of the rails for you in terms of your own faith. Say it because God says it. And so, the Lord said that to me there. And listen, you follow prayer. Jesus had his disciples, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Matthew 17, 1 to 6, Luke 9, 18 to 29. You see all that in there. Jesus had things. So when you go to prayer, there's going to be three levels to prayer. Number one is that you'll have a desire. Everybody in here has a small little desire to pray. It could be so small that you don't even know it's there hardly if you didn't really check inside with all the junk on top of it. You're always looking. You know, that's what happens to people. You know, when people want to ask for direction in life, they say, Lord, I need direction. And they have all kinds of junk in their spirit. They got anger in there. Oh, I got to sort that anger out. I got hate in there. Oh, I'm throw that out. I got selfishness in there. I got to throw that out. How can I find God's desires? All the junk is on top of there. It takes you like 2 weeks to get it out of there before you could ask God. That's what happens to people. And they get to emergencies, they can't find God because they're all, everything in there in their spirit is so full of junk, spiritual junk in there. They can't get rid of the resentment. They can't get rid of the anger. Can't get rid of the jealousy. They can't get rid of the fear. And they're trying to find the will of God in their heart. And when you have a prayer life that's healthy, you talk to God, He'll talk to you real quickly. It's not that God doesn't answer. It's that you have failed to keep spiritually right with God. If you've got a healthy prayer life, it's easier to hear from God. But it's not always easy to obey Him. Once you get it, you know what it is finally. You don't want to go there. God says to you, do something, you know. It's funny, you ask God something, He tells you something else. Almost totally unrelated. I said, Lord, can you help me out? I'm just dying here with anxiety. He says, go help somebody. Lord, did you hear me? Are you hard of hearing? Now, you wouldn't talk like to God. You wouldn't tell it to God, would you? How come you always help everybody else but not me? How come you hear everybody else's prayer but you don't help? You tell me to go help somebody. I'm asking you something real. But none of you ever talk to God like that way, right? Uh-huh. We're going to find out here in the scriptures pretty soon. But sometimes that's what we do. The first will come desire. And everybody here has some kind of desire to pray and seek God. The second thing you'll develop is discipline. I'm disciplined. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask myself how I feel, how cold it is in the morning, measure how cold it is outside. Do I have my house coat? Do I have, is there a heater in that room? No, you get all that ready. You don't ask yourself any questions. I'm tired. I had only 4 hours of sleep. No, you just get up. What if I fall asleep at work? Well, you get fired. God will have to give you a new job. You go, Roma! Well, the only guy who'll find me if Pastor Ken ever comes in, he'll find me. Or Pastor Steve, he's always in his office. I don't know what he does in there, but he's always there going. And his wife is going. What are you guys doing? I'm working. Can't you see I'm working? The next thing is delight. So you go from desire to discipline and to delight. That's where you go, ooh, can't wait to go. Can't wait to go again to my prayer time. I'm excited. So you need to develop this prayer time to delight level. You'll naturally progress there. You'll learn how to get some discipline. You'll get that morning time of prayer. You'll get energized. You'll hear. You'll seize the day. You'll take the day. You'll seize the day. You'll grab the day by the horns, and you'll control that day through your prayer. It's never too late to learn how to pray. Determine the day that you will pray, what time of the day you'll pray. Set the alarm. Don't put snooze on. Develop that certain time and you go there, at the place. Thank you, Lord. You know you're not going to be a spiritual giant overnight. It takes about 2 weeks. Then you'll notice that, something's happening here under my feet. You're ready to go. And then you start to, your hair starts turning color. And And then you need to do this. Find somebody else to pray with, to encourage you. Find a prayer partner right now. Say, I want you to pray with me. I want you to keep me accountable. Ask me what I prayed about. Don't ask your wife because you'll have lots of fights. Find somebody outside for now. Pray at church. When we pray, find time to go and pray with them if you can. Receive impartation from prayer leaders at the church. Receive discipline. Receive instruction. Become a multiplier of prayer time. Be encouraged. Learn to grow in prayer. Get mentorship in prayer. So develop a venue. Find a quiet place. Set a time. So now we're going to start. We got 2 minutes. I want to show you something. We're going to pray all day. I opened my eyes, everybody's gone. Okay, watch this. I want to give you something. I'm going to get you started, and I'm going to give you a model to pray. How many are you going to come back next week? One, two, three, okay. That was good. I don't know about this, man. This guy is crazy. Hebrews 4:6 says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you'll find grace to help in time of need. You go in there. God's inviting you right now. It's an invitation to everybody. I want you to put Psalm 100 up there. Don't close on me, because give me at least another 5 minutes. Psalm 100, let's put up there. And we're going to show you something. We'll get you started this morning. Okay, watch this. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many of you know how to make a happy sound? Yeah. Huh? So how do you sound when you're happy? What kind of sound do you make? Miss Judo? When you're happy, what do you do? What do you do? Okay, show me a laugh. Okay. Hey, put some little bit. Go ha ha ha. See? Eleanor. There's no Eleanor here, but when you're happy, what do?
I smile.
You smile? Do you smile loudly?
Well.
Okay, like that. That's good. Very good. But can somebody hear you? What if you're really happy? What if someone came to your house and said, you know what? We're going to give you $1 million today. A philanthropist came by and had your name written on it. You're going to have $1 million this afternoon. Come pick it up.
Amen.
What would you do?
Amen.
Would you just say, okay, yeah, sure, I'll be there. What would you do? Is that what you do? Would you do anything else? Is there something else extra you do? Would you do anything extra? You wouldn't know. What would you do? Yeah, if that happened to you. How many people believe him? Yeah. Nathan, what would you do? Somebody said this. Would you give a fist bump? Yeah? Yeah? So I'm telling you, here's just what God wants you to do. When you go to him, he says, make a joyful noise in the Lord. Come on, everybody, 1, 2, 3, come on. Yeah, see, that's a joyful noise. So everybody can participate. See, make a joyful noise. Let's go to the next one. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Somebody, you need to get glad. You're going to serve God. Let me see your face of gladness. Okay, start singing something. 6 days, I don't know. No, not that one. You sing something. Sing something nice. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, remember the old songs? That was good. Like, after I sing that song, I'm going. Okay, verse 3. Know that the Lord is, he is God. How many people that you know that God is God? Your wife is not God. Your husband is not God. Your workplace is not God. God's God. And he made us. And we not ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. You have to understand that. Put yourself in the position that God's God. Next verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. How many of you right now you can praise God for something? How many of you can be thankful about something in your life that God did? How many of you can thank God by faith of something you believe in God for? How many people can do that right now? Yeah? Okay, You enter his courts with praise. How many of you can praise God?
Praise God.
Whoa, yes, sir. How many of you can be thankful to him? How many of you can bless him? How many of you can acknowledge his goodness? Amen? Okay, go to the next one. For the Lord is good. As you said this earlier, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. This is repeated over and over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is every day. God's mercy is every day. Every one of us makes mistakes. His mercy is there to help you. Another one. Another one, another one, another one. Welcome. Are they cutting us off? Verse, is there another verse? No more verses? There's got to be another verse. We're going to close with this, but this is our start. For next, we're going to give you a structure. I'm going to show you how to pray in your prayer closet, and you're going to be so happy about it. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say it again. 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 One more time, everybody. One more time. Come on. Can you give me some kind of key? Play something nice and soft. I want you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to think about the goodness of God in your life. I want you to be thankful and be grateful about who God is. I want you to remember who God is and how great He is. He's given us five redemptive names of who He is. First of all, He's given us the name. He said, I'm Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. I'm in you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. God is here right now. He's inside of you. He's with you. He's standing with you. His angels are here right now. Angels are everywhere in this room right now. He said, the first thing He said to the Israelites when they went over to the other side, He said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer. I'm your healer. I will heal you of sickness and disease. I will prevent sickness from getting on you. I will protect you from sickness. I will not sickness strike you. God is your healer. He's not only a healer, but He is the divine health. You can thank Him for that. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He said, I'll provide every one of your needs. God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't lack for anything. I won't lack for natural things, spiritual things. I will not lack for one thing. He said, I'm Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you when you walk through the valley of darkness. I'm going to protect you from all evil, from the evil ones, evil plans, evil schemes, an enemy. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to strengthen you and put you beside still waters and peace. He said, I'm your peace. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm going to be your peace. I'm going to give you the gift of peace to put in your heart and put in your mind. You're going to have peace that passes all understanding. The world cannot give it to you, but I can give you peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of trouble. I'm going to give you peace right now. He's your peace. Thank you, Lord. I'm Jehovah Nissi. I'm going to give you a victory over everything that comes against you, every circumstance, every adverse circumstance that's against you. The enemy has put there any obstacles. I'm going to remove them. I'm going to be your Jehovah Nissi. I'm going to be your victory. You're going to have victory in every area of your life, in your relationships, in your workplaces, in your finances, in every area, in every endeavor. Every spiritual darkness that's come against you, you're going to have victory over anxiety, fear. You're going to have victory. I'm your victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise, God, for your good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. I am Jehovah Sitkinu. I'm your righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. I made you righteous. Your spirit is righteous. You're right before me right now. I made you accepted before my Father. And you can come into my throne of grace anytime because you're righteous right now because of faith in Jesus. You are made righteous. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are right. You have right standing with me right now. You have the right to come into my presence without fear, without guilt, without condemnation. Come on in. He says, come on in. Come on in. Hallelujah. I want every hand up in the air to praise Him and thank Him out loud right now. Come on. Praise Him. Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your wonderful goodness, Your merciful loving kindness. I give You praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we thank You. We give You praise for meeting all of our needs this day. We cover ourselves with the blood. We plead the blood of Jesus. And we declare today will be a wonderful day. A beautiful day, a marvelous day, a fantastic day, a day of meeting of new people, a day of gathering, a day of receiving the blessings of God, a day of freedom, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation, freedom from fear, freedom from bad feelings, freedom from everything. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your will, Your plan, and Your purposes. In the name of Jesus. I want us to give a one shout offering to the Lord. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah.